This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And that's hit in the air to left center field. Pretty deep, going back toward the wall. And it's gone. Corey Dickerson, an opposite field home run. And the Phillies take a 4-2 lead.
That sucks. I mean, you work, confidence building off the last one. Good work weeks coming in. Didn't have it tonight.
Mitch Keller sounding despondent, dejected after failing to retire the first six batters in the bottom of the fifth inning in Philly last night, including that Corey Dickerson home run to lead off the inning. Greg Brown with the call here on 93.7 The Fan. And despite that one good start that he had last time out against Cincinnati, where he went six innings, just one run on six hits and struck out nine, we haven't seen much great from Mitch Keller to this point. And while we're all for letting him come up and get some run at the major league level, maybe try to figure some things out, we have to ask the question, what if he just isn't that good? What if he ends up being one of these guys who's got one big blow-up inning in him every time? What if he just doesn't have the command and control? What if he's not the ace he was billed to be?
Well, then Ray Searidge better not buy too many green bananas, because like, it's trouble for him if Mitch Keller doesn't work out. It's stunning to me that in the same game, he'll show incredible stuff,
right,
and then have lapses to where he'll just get hit hard and go through times where a span of like three, four, five batters where he doesn't look like a major league pitcher. And then other times where he makes guys not look like major league hitters. That to me is different than Glasnow. Like Glasnow, when he was a Pirate, he didn't go through innings where he blew people away. He seemingly always struggled to find traction. Like, there are times where Keller will get out of innings in 11 pitches.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
And it's not the soft contact, three pitches or less kind of deal. He's blowing it by guys and making them look silly with the breaking stuff.
There's never been a time, though, with Mitch Keller where you say, okay, now you know kind of what you have. You have a path set out for him. Like, if they came out today, and I wouldn't fault them for this, if the Pirates came out today and said, you know, we're going to shut Mitch Keller down from competitive pitching the rest of the year. We're going to send him back to Bradenton. We're going to work on his mental skills and his skills, and we're going to have him go through extended spring and throw rookie ball and do all that stuff. I don't know if that'd be the worst idea. If they said, we're going to let him ride it out, he's going to learn at the big league level, I don't know if that would be the worst idea either. There's no set path to which you could see Mitch Keller on right now that's the best path for
him.
Well,
and that's part of the problem is, as this organization tries to find its way, and who knows who the people are going to be helping them do that down the road, but as this organization tries to find its way and figure out what they are and what they have going forward, you have no idea.
And they have no other pitching prospects. He won the International Pitching, or the International League Pitcher of the Year. So do they get here and it's philosophy then, whenever you put the hat on that has a P and not an Indian on it, like an Indianapolis Indian? Like, that's an easy remedy to trying to find out what this problem is right now. And I think that's why, if you're Ray Searidge, you got to be really worried.
Well, this is
the guy that crushed AAA competition. So then philosophically, when they get to the big league level, is there something that's different that you're doing, that you're pushing into their routine, that you're pushing into the way they carry themselves, or that they go out there and pitch on the mound, that is forcing a failure?
Well, and this isn't the first elite level prospect to come up here and look like this, or a guy who has once been elite, who's come to Pittsburgh and then all of a sudden lost it to a certain extent, Jim.
Well, Brault is their most consistent pitcher.
If the season ended today, Brault would be their opening day starter next year,
which
probably
is just mind blowing.
And it was, you know, not that long ago, Brault was in that same vein where, remember, what did they say? There's nothing more he can learn at AAA. Right, they'd send him down. Like, he'd struggle up here. They'd send him down.
Same thing
and
they
then
said
he'd
about Glasnow before
Glasnow,
that.
So, you know, maybe it's a little bit different, Colin, but the similarities are is that they had guys that were unhittable or close to it at the AAA level, and with Brault, with Glasnow, and now Keller, and then all of a sudden they lose it. And organizationally, there's got to be something going on. I think we're all kind of there where, you know, it's time to clean house.
You know who saved the game after Kenley Jansen couldn't get it done last night for the Dodgers?
Oh, geez, here we go.
Casey Sadler.
Yeah. He's got ridiculous numbers out there.
I mean, I hate to throw, you know, even more salt in a wound, but Casey Sadler came in for the Los Angeles Dodgers last night in the 10th inning and shut down the Padres. I mean, something isn't
working
out here.
There's a disconnect. But here's my worry and my fear as a fan of this team, as someone who wants to see them get started down the right path. What's going to happen is there's going to be an excuse made. The excuse is going to be, well, we've decided to change our pitching philosophy, or we've decided to tweak our pitching philosophy, or we've just decided that the message needs to be different, no pun intended, and the assistant pitching coach gets promoted and Ray Searage gets sent packing. And we're not talking about the big organizational change that needs to happen. Do you know what I mean?
No, they need to go from a wishbone team to a five-wide team.
Right.
Like, it needs
They need to go from Georgia Tech to the Oilers run and shoot.
Yeah, I mean, that has to happen. It can't just be window dressing. It can't just be, well, we're going to change the guy but keep all the paperwork around in the books and the way that we teach things around. It needs to be a total change.
And that's
change.
The kind of thing that starts at the top. Like, you can't just replace a pitching coach and trust that everything is going to get fixed. That may be a step in the right direction, but it's only a part of the solution, and it's only a half measure, really, which is, I think, is what most Pirate fans are worried about, is that this will be an offseason, yet again, of half measures.
I don't know, but to get back to kind of the fundamental question and how we started this segment, though, I don't know what the answer with Keller is from now until the end of the year. I don't know if it would be the worst. You want to maybe see him get his brains beat in if that's what it takes. You want to maybe see him get that success if that's what happens. But this kind of living in the middle thing is sort of the worst.
Well,
when he goes out there and he gives up, you know, 5, 6, 7 earned runs. Like, if you get bombed and you don't get out of the first inning, situation's easy. If you go and you blow through lineups and you're giving up 2, 3 earned runs, situation's easy. When you're living in this middle and in the same game you show brilliance, but then you show that you can't get people out, it makes it really tough to figure out and dissect what you got.
Let me see what you did against the Reds last weekend. Let me see what you did against the Angels out in L.A. Do that more often and make that have that happen more often down the stretch. And the only way to do that is to go out and throw against major league lineups.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.